True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
1 o'clock hour here on a Monday. Don't forget 30 Hop, our Monday lunch partner on Cody and Gold. Today, $5.99 classic burgers at either the Lee Summit 30 Hop or the Merriam Grand Station 30 Hop. Awesome patios at both locations. It's an American bar and kitchen with bold flavors. You can stop in for lunch. Stay for happy hour, 30hop.com. Local beer, American eats, big patio. I just saw some news from Schefter come across. Unfortunately, it's not an update on Xavier Worthy or anything like that. But it has to do, if you watched Sunday Football yesterday, you know towards the end of the game, fourth quarter, I think it was, DeAndre Hopkins got shoved in the head by like the fan, a Bills fan in the crowd, and then you saw Lamar shove the fan back.
And Lamar, which I think should be allowed.
And Lamar said, hey, you know, I shouldn't have done it. He apologized in the postgame. That fan has been indefinitely banned from not just the Bills stadium, but NFL stadiums. He was ejected right away, but now he's banned. He should be. You cannot.
Well, wasn't it a kid too? Like it was.
I don't know how old the fan was.
Didn't look super old.
But you can't. A player's in front of you. Can't
shove Lamar Jackson.
Or DeAndre Hopkins. You can't, especially in the head. Like you can't. You can't be really. You're not supposed to. You know, touch any of the players.
Yeah. Normalize me being team, allowed you know, to like, shove. Not like start a fist fight. I don't think Lamar Jackson did anything wrong. Shove him back.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You can't just put your hands on me in the middle of an NFL game.
The only reason why he shouldn't have done it is because, one, you risk potentially,
inciting something.
Well, that, but then, you know, you end up, there's the league trying to come down harder on you. They're not going to because of the whole circumstance, but you just don't know that, I don't know how that plays out with the ticket. You know, I don't know if it immunes you, but like, could somebody try to sue you? If, let's say, you shove that person, they fell back and hit their head. I'm just saying, like, you have to think worst case scenario stuff if you're Lamar of the situation, but I don't fault him for doing it, but like I thought he handled it well in post game. He kind of owned it and whatever, but that fan should be banned. It's like the Yankees thing, a Yankees fan last year, they grabbed the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove, like ripped his hand out of the glove and they both got banned. I think
they had those great seats for the year. Now his ass won't be in them the rest of the time. And I don't feel bad for anybody who makes a bad decision like that. It's a sporting event. That's a privilege. This isn't like taking away your livelihood. You just don't get to do it. That wasn't even the biggest fan interaction. I'm assuming you, like everyone else, saw that Phillies fan. That lady got so mad. Drew, did you see this?
There's a bunch of fans. Funny edit to the video.
Was there?
I'll have to show it to you.
Okay. There was a ton of fan stuff over the weekend. So while we're on it, did you guys see during the national anthem of Jets Steelers? Before the game, obviously, national anthem, you know, they did they were one of the flags that are the length of the football field, right?
Yeah.
One of the everybody.
Full size.
Okay. Somehow a fan or worker like didn't get pulled back far enough and ended up on top of the flag is
pulled. I saw this.
And so he's crawling and so I don't think the anthem had fully started yet, but clearly, you know, you got this beautiful American flag, and there's a guy on, you know, on his knees crawling back. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are just standing there watching this all play out. And it's like that was one of the funnier moments. You don't, if you look on social media, you'll see the video.
There was also another moment in that Bills game when Derrick Henry scored that long touchdown to go 15. Somebody threw a water bottle at Derrick Henry on the field. I don't know if you guys saw
really?
It.
I did not.
As he scored.
It hit the end zone. It missed him, but somebody threw a water bottle and it almost hit Derrick Henry.
It was Buffalo's own snowballs.
Y'all gotta relax.
Stop throwing stuff.
Fan behavior is ridiculous.
Come on, Buffalo. What are we doing?
I will say, for reputation of like having good fans, they have had 3 or 4 incidents over the last calendar year of like, don't throw snowballs at players. Don't touch players physically. Don't throw water bottles at them. Don't throw stuff at people is a pretty easy thing to do. That fan in Philly, I thought we all knew, and she's wearing gear like she's clearly been to a number of games. I thought we all agreed, balls hit into the stands are fair game. I don't care how close it is to you. It's not just your baseball because it's physically close to you a little bit.
Yeah.
So weird. Such a weird.
Did we make it through week one though without there being at least documented on video like full blown fight?
Yeah, I didn't see one.
I'm not saying it'll happen very soon. We made it 1 week.
Huzzah!
Unless it happens tonight in Chicago with the Vikings.
We'll talk about the Royals coming up in about 20 minutes, who are still just 2 games back of the Mariners for the final wild card spot. But I'm going to ask you a simple question because I think the game on Friday, you can be positive about this, or you can be negative about the thing I'm getting ready to talk about, which is, look, Mahomes was, I'm glad that most people agree. I was worried we were going to get into this loop of people trying to tell me he didn't play well.
That's happened before. There's definitely some out there saying that.
Patrick Mahomes was incredible on Friday. I'm sorry. This does not excuse their performance or some of the performance of others. Patrick Mahomes was unbelievable in that game. He was sharp. He was accurate. He was doing superhero stuff. It was insane. I think he's been helping hide a lot of the problems for the Chiefs over years, and that's what great quarterbacks are certainly meant to do. Do you feel better knowing that this is the kind of season and effort you might get out of Patrick Mahomes, or that in game one, it was required? Because I only see this version as in, I'll do anything, I'll die on the sword Mahomes, when they are like down and out in a game. The couple of Super Bowls, this is the way he played in the second half of those games. These other games where it seems like they're way behind. That's the only time you see this like comic book superhero version of him, which is what he was on Friday, in my opinion.
No doubt. He tried to take over the football game. He had to. There was nothing going right. He had to try to change the energy level of the entire team, and he did that. And yeah, I think those exact performances that you're describing typically have come in games in which they're in big trouble. But at the same time, I will say, despite all the very real concerns, we've gone through it throughout the show today, Juwan Taylor, the O-line, obviously down Worthy and Rice, and the defense running into each other, all these real issues they have to clean up. The only thing that still has kept me from reaching panic level is number one, it's week one.
Yeah.
And number two, that because of what you just said, you always got a shot with Patrick Mahomes. Plain and simple. I don't care
in that game.
Always have a chance. Frankly, really, the Eagles Super Bowl is the only game where they never had a shot. That's it. Even the Bucs Super Bowl, you felt like for a little bit longer they had a shot. There's really been one or two games ever where I felt like they didn't have a shot after the first quarter.
The two Super Bowls were 2 of them.
And that's it. And that's it for me.
And that game started that way, and they still had a shot.
So while the concerns are real, and I don't know what the season's going to end up being like for Kansas City, I don't think they're now suddenly a bad football team that's going to win 8 or 9 games. And a lot of that is not only just the veteran coaching staff and their track record of getting some things corrected, not to mention a few guys will be back from suspension/injury. But of course, it's because Patrick Mahomes still exists and he is capable of doing things that you should not be able to do on a football field to give your team a shot. As bad as they were on Friday, they still could have won the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because of him.
They were only down one score and needed a stop to get the ball back. And the way he was playing, only because, honest to God, the only reason they were in that game was Patrick Mahomes. It wasn't anyone on defense. It certainly wasn't an individual offensive player holding the things. It wasn't the offensive line. The only reason they had a chance to win that football game was Patrick Mahomes decided to be a superhero. He was doing insane stuff in that game. I was a little surprised. Someone said on social media, I saw some people talking about him playing bad. I'm like,
no, so look at the top text. Look at the top text.
Were we watching a different game? I'm not saying the team played well. I'm not saying they didn't deserve to lose.
Someone says he wasn't unbelievable. He threw a bunch of 3-yard hitch routes.
Disagree. I mean, just disagree. I mean, I've watched him do that game. Disagree. Drew, you're considered the Chiefs hater on this show only because you're a Bengals fan. How did you think Patrick Mahomes played?
Oh, I thought he played outstanding. Again, the MVP level type of play, like the way that they play doesn't make it seem like it, but the way that he was able to make things happen, whether it's with his legs, whatever the case is, he played at a MVP type of level, and I can understand why people are frustrated because it wasn't enough. I mean, that's the same thing. That's the exact same storyline, I think, that happened many times with Joe Burrow last year. I think if Josh Allen and the Bills would have lost that game to the Ravens, the exact same thing would have stood there, where look at Josh Allen. Too bad he didn't have a defense that would help him. That sort of thing would have been the exact conversation, I think, that would have come from that Bills game.
What about the missed deep passes? He had two overthrows to Tyquan Thorne. We didn't say he played the most perfect game of his
career.
Also,
you're not allowed to miss a throw?
It's like asking
a pitcher to throw a perfect game every time. Sorry,
that's nitpicking.
And I guess some of this is like...
He was suspended, hovering over the field in midair and made a pass.
I genuinely understand.
He was making some crazy plays.
He was making great throws. They scored on their last five possessions.
They did.
I genuinely understand the frustration, because my frustration is what Drew's talking about, which is in any game, and when Patrick Mahomes plays that level of football, you have no business losing. If Patrick Mahomes plays at that level, losing the game is an embarrassment. You shouldn't get that level of play out of your quarterback and lose a football game. Not with Andy Reid, not with Mahomes. Yeah. And they did. Yep. And that's more where my frustration lies, not with his individual play. Like, but it's also why I have hope that they can still beat the Eagles or beat Baltimore or beat Detroit, all teams they have before they've also got the Giants and who's the other? Is that it?
Jags, right?
Jags not. Well, they were fine against Carolina.
Yeah,
they were okay.
They had an hour delay due to weather.
Yeah, that's I was getting them mixed up with Carolina. Etienne had a nice game.
Yeah, look, I hope they can connect on the deep pass moving forward with Thorne, but if he can't have one single miss, that means he didn't play unbelievable. Then I know you set a very high bar, but I guess it's even higher of a bar than I realized. Not to mention, we have spent a good chunk of the show talking about the O-line problems that still existed. So that also has to be accounted for when we discuss Patrick Mahomes' level play. He had no complimentary running game. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Isaiah Pacheco. I know people are down on him after one game. He didn't look good, but he also touched the ball five times. He only got five carries, so we'll get into that more tomorrow. I will give you credit, Drew, today. You've been very quiet in a good way about anything that happened over the weekend related to Cincy. You didn't come in here trying to act like Cincinnati's on a path to the Super Bowl or anything like that.
But they had to just get a win.
They had to get a win.
Oh,
you guys got a win in September for like the first time in a long time. And the defense held 45-year-old Joe Flacco in check, you know?
I was ecstatic because they tackled better. The longest rush they allowed was 5 yards, which... It's a miracle. It is a miracle.
Nice improvement.
They tackled much better. You know, they had Logan Wilson looked outstanding. Shamar Stewart made some plays. I thought it was very, very good. The secondary had some problems. They were getting beat a little bit on the outside, but I thought collectively.
You think they're winning the division now, don't you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
Some texts in the group chat that made it seem like you were headed in that direction.
No, because I think Chargers fans are they in the exact same situation as the Bengals are, where the Chargers have a game and a half lead technically over the Kansas City Chiefs right now. The Bengals have a game and a half lead over the Baltimore Ravens right now. And I think that's it. The Bills did the Bengals and the Steelers a big favor. And, I will say I was amazed. They had no business winning that football game yesterday.
I can't believe how many times they tried to blow in Cleveland.
Cody,
they'll be much better week two because they got that monkey off their back.
I would hate to be a
if they lost that game, maybe 1-3.
I would hate to be Jacksonville going into this week. But of all things, the defense, this is the game last year that they lost. These are the types of games where the game sucked. It was really bad. And they still found a way to win. And of all things, it was the defense that made the play. It was unbelievable.
I won't believe that the Bengals have corrected anything defensively until they play a top 12 quarterback in football.
They won't this week.
They won't.
To you guys,
Trevor Lawrence is not.
He's not a top 12 quarterback, according to anybody.
So yes, a win's a win, and it's a much better start. Maybe that's the difference between them making the playoffs or not. And honestly, it might be. It was last year. It really might be. It might be. But acting like, you know, the defense is now good to go in Cincy because they beat 45-year-old Joe Flacco and missed field goals by Cleveland is.
And you know what? They lost to 44-year-old Joe Flacco last year because of the same reason. So I think, you know what? It is an improvement, and we will take it.
Yeah.
No, honestly,
I was so elated. I was so
excited.
I was
17-16 win over the Browns.
I was so pumped up. It was gross and it was disgusting, but we will take a win.
I mean, yeah. Jerry Jeudy was dropping passes. Cedric Tillman letting passes go off his fingertips, leading to this interception.
They took advantage, man. You know, credit to...
This extra point was still the difference, too.
No, it really was the difference in the end.
Did it feel like there was an unusual amount of missed extra points in this
week? There was quite a few yesterday.
It was like two things in excess. Missed extra points and weather delays. I'm like, do we change the protocol for weather delays? Because we had three.
It feels like weather.
One.
Yeah, weather typically hits in college for some reason more than NFL games. I hadn't remember the last time a weather delay hit an NFL game, but it's just as simple as lightning in the area.
People are asking you about Joe Burrow's stat line.
Oh yeah, he didn't have a good game. He also doesn't have
113 yards.
He played poor.
Crazy.
He missed Jamar Chase, who was open for a touchdown at one point. And he didn't play well. The offensive line had a couple bad stretches, but.
Yeah, that one hit I saw him take. Oh, up dude, the gut. I thought he might die.
And he still dimed up Jamar Chase, who couldn't quite get his foot down, but his second foot down. But yeah, man, it doesn't matter. I would rather them win 16 of these games than lose 50-40.
I'm glad to hear that, Drew. That's a win.
I'd rather
mindset.
Joe Burrow's stat line be 113 yards, and they go on and they beat your Kansas City Chiefs and they win the Super Bowl.
You should.
Yep.
That's the way Chiefs have been operating for years.
I don't care.
Just win,
baby. That's right.
Outside of that.
Totally.
On the college end, we talked a little bit about Missouri and Kansas. We'll talk some K-State tomorrow, who's off to a wretched start to their season based on what their preseason expectations were. And, Drew, we'll talk a little college football nationally with us every Tuesday on this show as well. But I should have probably seen it coming. I thought it would work better than this. Bill Belichick has lost it. It's done. This was a bad hire by North Carolina. I think.
In what way has he lost it?
You can safely say that now.
They won over the weekend, didn't they?
It doesn't matter.
They won 20-3 over Charlotte.
You can already safely say the Bill Belichick hire by North Carolina was a bad decision for a multitude of reasons. One being, Bill Belichick's hallmark of his entire NFL career was do your job, be about business. This is about football. The rest of this is just noise. And I'm not, I thought about making fun of him for working on a trademark for Gold Digger in his middle of his offseason. I thought, you know what? I'm going to lay off of that one. I'll let Bill have this one. He shouldn't be worried about that, but I'll let Bill have this one. The second, he openly admitted to a petty dispute with the New England Patriots, saying, if I'm not welcome in their building, their scouts aren't welcome in. So he's going to actively hurt his own kids who he recruits and can't recruit other kids who might want to be scouted by one of the NFL teams. And he's limiting scouts from other NFL teams as well. He's lost sight of the football part of it. Bill Belichick has lost sight of it. This is going to go down as a really, really bad hire, I think, when it's done. Like Charlie Weiss-esque. You're going to hate that you paid a man who was looking for a check and not looking to be about football, which is weird for Bill Belichick. Borderline doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so I agree with most of these. I don't think Belichick's looking for a check. I think his ego got to him. He wanted to coach so badly to prove to everybody that he can still coach and he can do this. I think that's what's happened. As far as the not allowing scouts to the facility, you're just hurting your own players at that point. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. And Mike Vrabel was asked about it in New England today and said Belichick, to the best of his knowledge, is welcome at the Patriots facility. Says that nothing surprises him when it comes to the decision. Like, basically, he's not surprised by it. But he also said, for the best of his knowledge, Belichick was back in New England for Tom Brady's ceremony or whatever. So he's like, I don't know what he's talking about. So he put it back on to...
Old man doesn't remember or what?
Vrabel put it back on Belichick. So like, no, you're not banned from our facility as far as I know.
Did you see...
I've never seen a relationship like this in this poorly. Mm-hmm. This is worse than Frank White with the Royals right now at this point. Mm-hmm. Somehow Bill Belichick, the most decorated coach in NFL history, is in a petty dispute. He's in a catty fight with his former team.
Did you see that... So they played at Charlotte, who are the 49ers. Did you see that they had a Gold Digger cam during the game?
That's so good.
They did not show Bill Belichick, but they showed other...
I can't believe...
Women in the crowd who were on the Gold Digger cam.
So good.
If they had shown Jordan...
Oh!
I didn't even care that they lost. They're not expected to win that football game.
Somebody photoshopped her into the Gold Digger cam, but Charlotte had a camera just for that game.
So amazing. I also
in the stands
that same game. Charlotte had a contest. They said for any student, if you went to all their athletic events for a week, so it was 19 athletic events, you could lead the team onto the field at the beginning of the game. So some student or some fan went to 19 Charlotte.
Oh, it was Coastal.
That was Coastal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was like Coastal Carolina.
Sorry, not
that
Charlotte.
That was really, really, really
still,
cool.
Same difference.
Yeah.
Coastal did that, and so some fan got to run out with the team and lead the team out of the crazy field.
Did that kid go to class?
I don't know.
How do you attend 19 athletic events and actually be in class?
Yeah, no idea.
Only
in college football. That's part of the nuttiness of college football right there.
If they did that for UMKC, but you got to just, like, I don't know, take them out of the court for
they
basketball.
They don't play football for basketball.
Should I? Is that an excused absence in my class?
What? You get to run, like, the
if
layup line?
Miss,
with
yeah, what if
there's,
I don't know.
There's not a comp. There is no comp.
I don't know what the comp is. I'm just saying they get to, like, you know, they get to do
something. Unfortunately, they don't have football.
Yeah, they get to lead the layup line.
There you go.
If they go to every other athletic event, should that be an excused absence in my class?
If you're able to
go to every UMKC athletic event for 1 week?
Yes.
Hang on. What if you had the opportunity potentially to do it? Would you?
I cancel class for whatever reason I feel like. So if the kid wants to miss, they can miss. I'm saying, is it an excused absence? And they give him a chance to catch up on anything we might have missed.
Yes.
I think it's valid.
Versus, you know, the other end. Does anyone think this Bill Belichick thing's going to end well? I think it's going to end.
What do you mean by end well, though? What do you mean by that?
That's Hindenburg.
Because you've said this a few times.
Going to be a disaster.
I think they'll win 3 or 4 games. Hindenburg, he'll blow out, and you'll never hear from him as a college coach.
Yeah, I think they're a 4-win team this year.
I think there's a decent chance that happens, but I don't know if I'd bank on it.
I think a lot of it just depends on what else comes out about the Jordan Hudson stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, what else do we not know that gets leaked out eventually?
Are we still digging into that?
Oh, Pablo Torre or somebody is.
Dude, I'm not getting on it.
I'm not.
If you've done anything that you think Pablo Torre might find out about, you might as well just admit to it now.
At this rate, yeah.
Get ahead of it before his story releases and you're really in it.
No kidding.
I'm trying to steer clear, if anything. This is an above board show as we've
continued to
talk.
Because if you mean Timber, that means you probably think they go 2-10 this year and he gets fired after 1 year then. That's like the scenario you're talking about is he's gone after this season.
I think he could be gone after the season or in the middle of next season or the end of maybe the end of next season. But I think
that's like the Timber situation you're talking about.
No more. That's a Charlie Weiss thing. What do you get? 2 years? How long do you get at Kansas? 2-3 years?
He might have gotten more than two, yeah.
God, he got more than two. Ugh. Why do they do that? And look, that's more the taking a check part of it versus the other side. To Gold's point, it wasn't just about a check. He actually wanted to prove that he could coach. But I just think it's going to end really, really bad. And he's lost sight of like normal Bill Belichick stuff. Picking a petty fight in a press conference with the Patriots?
That is pretty embarrassing. You can also argue he's looking after himself more than the team, because if the Patriots want to look at one of his players, but he's not allowing them in the facility, then what is he going to do? Try to say you don't want to go to the Patriots or whatever when you get picked? Like try not to go there? Or I don't know.
Isn't Charlie Weiss Jr. like a well-thought-of coach?
Yeah, he's going to be a head coach here very soon. He's been an OC for Lane Kiffin and stuff, but yeah, he'll be a head coach in the next couple of years.
He got 3 years at Kansas, by the way. 2012, 13, and 14.
Yeah.
What was their best record?
They won 2 games in year 1 and then 3, I think, the second year or something like that.
It was the last time he ever coached.
Yeah.
He just took that check from Kansas and said, and they paid him for a decade after. Thanks, fellas.
He was on a 5-year contract.
I know. They had two or three
more years left on that contract. Yeah.
Ooh.
That was a...
There was a time when Kansas football was playing 4 different coaches, I think. Or 3 different head coaches?
3, I think. At one point.
God, it's good.
Better times now in Lawrence.
Yeah, that's right.
For sure.
That's right. Even though this past weekend wasn't great.
From the 913, the UMKC student that wins the layup line might get recruited.
Oh,
harsh.
Jeez.
Wow.
Ouch.
Wow. They were at one point leading the
Shots
Sunday
fired.
League,
right? I didn't expect a UMKC shot today.
They were predicted to finish near the top
of
the
Kansas City
they
shot.
Did not.
Jeez.
Finish at the top
up next, we'll get to what's trending, then we'll talk a little bit about the Royals and what this week sets up for next week. Plus, what do we think about Bobby Wood Jr.'s likelihood to play with the back spasms this week? That's coming up.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Right here on Cody and Gold.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, of course, the Chiefs lost over the weekend to Philadelphia. Andy Reid did speak earlier today. It was pretty short on some of the answers of what we were wondering. I think that's fair to say. He was asked about Xavier Worthy. Said, hey, he's rehabbing. They'll see where it goes. He is day to day.
Day by day, specifically, yeah. Is what he said. Same difference.
Yeah.
That in Andy Reid terms could mean 10 years, and it could mean 4 games. It certainly does not mean short injury. It's never meant short injury, I'll say that. The Jalen Royals one is now a way more important injury to follow. Well, as in, they didn't put him on the IR. Could he be back for this game on Sunday to give him a little more depth in the wide receiver unit? I'll be keeping a closer eye on that one. I want to know the Xavier Worthy injury, but obviously Jalen Royals is the more important player for this week in particular. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals are 2 games back of the Seattle Mariners. We'll talk about them here in just a minute. Took 2 of 3 over the weekend against the Twins, lost the finale of the series yesterday against Minnesota. Bobby Witt Jr. has missed the past 2 games due to back spasms, and to my understanding, is not expected to be back tonight, or at least for the first few games of this series, so they'll have to continue to win without Bobby.
Next on What's Trending, college football. Missouri got it done in Columbia, 42-31 over the Jayhawks. The Tigers are now 2-0. They're also ranked in the top 25. Over in Manhattan, Kansas State fell to Army at home, 24-21. They're now 1-2. They got away with one against North Dakota the week before. Fortunate to be 1-2. Obviously, time to figure things out very, very quickly for K-State to salvage this thing. Otherwise, it is going to be a very ugly season for the Wildcats. They have Arizona this Friday night on the road. Late kickoff as well. That's another danger spot for them.
Next up on What's Trending, Giants head coach Brian Daboll has said they're sticking with Russell Wilson as quarterback 1 versus the Cowboys in week 2. After the game and postgame, he had not committed to a week 2 starter for the Giants. People thinking maybe they'd already change it up and go Jackson Dart. They're going to stick with Russell Wilson. This is of note for Kansas City, of course, as they face the Giants in week 3. So if you would rather face Russell Wilson, hope he looks good this weekend. If you'd rather face the rookie in Jackson Dart, well, then hope Russell Wilson stinks. Yep. They're not going to. I mean, if they were going to make a change after 2 games, I said this from the beginning anyway, then just start with Jackson Dart.
Well, that's why they're not making a
change after 2 games. Well, that's a waste of time.
That's why they're not making a switch after 1 week. It's the same. We got the conversation about Juwan Taylor earlier. It's like,
agreed,
Juwan Taylor was terrible, but if they were that close to, they wouldn't have started Juwan Taylor week 1 if they were going to pull him and start Jalen Moore this week. You know, anyway, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget Monday's football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com.
Let's talk a little Royals. The Bobby Wood Jr. stuff.
Jalen?
Oh. Cannot. Yeah. I mean, Jalen, we want to talk about him later in the week. But so the Royals obviously are not any further back. They got within a game, Gold, and you could taste a playoff spot for one short afternoon before they lost yesterday.
What does that taste like?
A playoff spot?
What's it taste like? You said, how would you describe that? What's that?
How would I describe that taste like?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were just getting ready to play the cheese drop.
And I didn't have it ready.
This is
a spur of the moment thing. I didn't have it ready.
Playoff spot? Oh, delicious. Yeah. You know, like a fine wine, Gold.
Oh, wine. So it's high class. Okay.
Yeah, classy. Okay. Playoffs are classy.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like
hockey playoffs are more like a Labatt, but you know, like everything tastes a little bit different depending on the NFL.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or NBA or, you know, NHL. In this case, baseball. For a second, it seemed like they were close to a playoff spot. The Bobby Witt thing is nothing to scoff at. The only thing that gives me hope is this team has done what I used to praise teams for years on. You and I talked about this. A couple years ago, the Guardians lost Shane Bieber before the season. I'm like, well, they're done. And they weren't done. They were still a very good baseball team. I've watched lots of good Guardians and Twins teams are the ones I've watched the most in my youth. But Rays and other lose important players, trade important players, and it not impact their ability to be competitive. The Royals have lost Bubic for half the season, Reagans for the entire season so far. He is and did pitch a rehab assignment and was healthy. So if they got to go 4 or 5 days a week without Bobby Wood Jr., I do believe in this team's scrappiness enough to think by the time we get to the Mariners series next week, that they will still have, at the very least, a fighting chance at a playoff spot. Will it require them to sweep the Mariners? Maybe. Mariners have a much easier next 7 games than the Royals. The Royals have 4 on the road against the Guardians, 3 on the road against the Phillies, and then we'll have to take on a very good Mariners team led by Cal Raleigh. So the Bobby Wood Jr. news is bad. It's not good for the team.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination. I was impressed by the way they played against Minnesota. Everything hasn't gone perfect, but this is why, I'm assuming that this is why you love the 7th wild card spot so much. The Royals have done a lot to lose a playoff spot. They're still in one.
Yeah, I know.
They're not in one, in the race for one.
Baseball purists hate it. I know Vern's not a fan of the extended wild card. I don't think you are either, but I said many years ago, we
it's good for a small market.
First year of the show or whatever. I mean, when it was first happening and stuff, I think if you're a Royals fan, you should love the 7th wild card or the extra wild card because this is what it allows you to do. You have a franchise that has not been in the playoffs all that often. And it allows you to still have a chance on September 8th. Otherwise, you'd be way out of this thing.
How far back would they be? If there was only the 6 wild card spots, let's just take the tiebreaker out of it because they're behind. They don't have the tiebreaker against any of these teams.
That's what I mean, though. So like they're even further behind.
They'd be 5.5 back with 19 to play. So not technically impossible, but virtually impossible. As in, it would be the longest of long shots in order to get that final spot.
So I love the extended wild card because of that. But the problem they run into is the same thing we've been saying for 2 weeks. It's like, they won a series. That's great.
But the last 10 games, they've only made a game.
If this was June or July, I'd be like, just keep winning series. You'll be good. No, they need sweep.
Yeah.
You know, against the Guardians, if they do worse than a split, it's over. I know you're going to sit there and say they got the Mariners next week. They do. But that's putting yourself in a position where you have to sweep the Mariners, which I don't think anybody believes they're going to be able to do. So you need to be no worse than where you're at right this second. Can you maintain 2 games behind the Mariners before the series against the Mariners? That's worst case scenario. They cannot be 3.5 back to me going to the Mariners series because I don't think they're sweeping the Seattle Mariners next week.
Rangers, by the way, for those asking, someone on the text I was asking, they've got the Brewers and the Mets. The Brewers are maybe the best team in the National League. Mm-hmm. One of the best teams in baseball. So I don't know where the Mets are this year. They're like mediocre, below average, average. Are they in a playoff spot?
The Mets?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's like the one team I don't feel like
they've been up and down, hard to predict. The Mets have been a very
second currently in the NL East.
They're not going to win the East, but they've been very up and down.
Pretty similar to the Royals playing the Phillies, in honesty. They're 6 games apart. That's what's so weird about, like, this is what I've never understood about the idea that the Royals are bad, is in 162 games, when you really boil it down, Gold, it's like the difference between a team in the NFL, like the distance between the Royals and the Mariners, or hell, the Royals and the Red Sox, not the Tigers.
Yeah. But like the Royals and the Red Sox, 5.5 games over 162 games. It is legitimately the difference between a 10-7 team and a 9-8 team in the NFL. That's the quality difference between the two teams. Because it's that small of an amount of games over the course of it. But that's why all those games in April and May and June and the losing streaks that may exist there versus the winning streaks that may exist there, all in totality still matter. That's why the Royals have maintained an ability to be in the mix. And I'm glad they're in the mix. They're the only team with a negative run differential who is in the mix. And that's largely because they spent half of their season playing zero offense until the All-Star break and then had a bounce back after that. Any hope? What do you think of the pitching's probably been the most impressive part.
Well, it doesn't matter who they throw. If you lose Reagans, Lugo, and Bubich, and you've had Noah Cameron become your best pitcher, you have Cole, who's come out of nowhere. You obviously have Burgert, who has been very, very good for them. And so they haven't, you know, they've been able to maintain the rotation while also now having an injury to Bobby Wood Jr. I know there's only two games so far, but yeah, as you were saying earlier, sounds like it might end up being a 3 or 4 game thing. So that part is impressive to stick with it. You know, I'll stick with my stance on the playoffs. Unfortunately, I think they're going to come up just short.
You think they're going to come up a couple games short?
Yeah, and I told you, I'll gladly be wrong, but I think we're going to be sitting here and they're going to end up finishing like 2.5-3 out of the spot when it's done. Unless you tell me that there's a 5-game winning streak on the horizon, and I don't see that.
I got to say, they had a tough weekend as far as they're still in it. But it's like,
Where are you at? Where are you at on it?
Oh, I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs. I still can't predict that. I mean, until they're in a playoff spot, I'm probably not gonna say.
If they sweep the Guardians and they win 4 in a row, okay,
oh, yeah, then I'm in.
But what's crazy about that? If the Mariners though win 4 in a row, then they didn't go any ground there. That's what's crazy about. That's the challenge they have. But no, if they were to go out and sweep the Guardians, then I would have a little more belief here. The Guardians also are only a half game behind them. That's another reason why not just the Mariners, but. If you
put two teams ahead of you.
Yeah, they already have the Rangers ahead of them.
Yeah, and a half game. They had them by a half game Saturday night. No. At this point, if you made me guess, I would not predict them to make the playoffs.
I want to have a reason to go to the Mariners series next week, and that means the Royals being within 2.5 or 3 games of the spot. If they're within that heading in the Mariners series, even though I still think it's a tall task, I think that should be a series where everybody's fired up in Kansas City for. But if they slip this week, that series may not matter.
I gotta say, the attendance this weekend was pretty bad. Now, I'm not blaming
Friday night with Chiefs game.
Yeah. I'm not blaming fans necessarily. Although I say you ask for competitive baseball, you're getting it. But Friday night I'm against the Chiefs game. Well, that was never gonna go great. And then Saturday and Sunday, you get the second weekend of college football. MUKU. You get a full NFL slate for the first time. Like that's an uphill climb from an attendance standpoint. And I do still think that if they're one game back, I'm not saying it's going to be 3 straight sellouts, but I would expect some buzz. I would hope for some buzz at Kauffman Stadium if they're one game back as Seattle starts coming to town a week from Tuesday.
Absolutely. If that's the case, as long as they're with true striking distance and they don't have a disappointing week. And that's why starting tonight, it's just a massive series again against the Guardians.
Oh, man. Every series. That's what I do. I will say. Being in the mix is fun. Every single game feels huge. Where I'm questioning decisions in the fifth inning, I'm like, are you sure Carter Jensen shouldn't be pinch hitting for Luke Maley in the fifth inning when you're down 3 and the game feels like it's slipping away? I start questioning things that I would... Game 37, I can promise you, Gold. I wouldn't have cared who was pinch hitting for who in the fifth inning or whose bat was available where or lineup decisions. No, I care about it now because they're in it.
Yeah, I'm glad the game starts an hour early because we're at Eastern time zone. Because I want to watch this Bears game tonight, Bears Vikings. So we'll have Royals early, but most of the Royals game will be a good chunk in the way in by the time
they start at
5:30 tonight.
Yeah, you're right.
So the game won't be over, but you'll be a good chunk of the way in.
You'll know which way it's leaning.
Because I actually am for football tonight. I will say I am fired up for this one. You know where I'm at on Chicago now. For our Circa Millions, we actually want us to go 0-5 now that we're 0-4. As much as my entire offseason, I have said Chicago's winning this game, and I still think they are. I hope I'm wrong that they don't cover the 1.5 because we actually want our entry to go 0-5 so we can get the last place prize and be in position for that since we had a horrendous Sunday for our picks between you, me, Rob, Dusty, Speck, Bink. Got too many people. I can't think of it.
We were 0-4.
So we're going for 0-5.
We should get an acronym so you can remember them all.
Yeah, we need something. But no, like tonight, I think it's a huge game for just what we think the rest of the NFC North and NFC could be. JJ McCarthy making his debut. Kevin O'Connell, we all agree, is great. Justin Jefferson's amazing. Is McCarthy good right away, or is it going to be growing pains? Caleb Williams, most pressure of any quarterback this year. First year with Ben Johnson. Does that offense just look light years different?
Lions offense looks a lot different without him.
It did.
That's just one game.
But yeah, so I think it'll be a competitive game tonight. I still lean Chicago, but I hope I'm wrong so we can go 0-5. and I need Justin Jefferson for our guillotine league.
This
I
is the do trouble. Need that. We get in this thing, and this is like you'd mentioned like Survivor, but it's like, I mean, we managed to Survivor this thing. After 1 week, we're 0-4. We've already just buried ourselves.
Well, we're going for the quarterly.
The quarterly booby prize, which is $25,000. For if finishing. You don't share it with someone, obviously.
Yeah,
it could
that's
be,
the
like,
thing.
Split.
We get chopped and all of a sudden it's
we
five.
Could go 0-20, but if somebody else goes 0-20, then...
I'm just saying, what do you think's more likely? Be honest. What's more likely for the quarter or for the... So top 100 across the whole season.
Can't win the quarter no matter what, I'll say.
Yeah,
we could win every
1-4.
Match
you have no chance to win the quarter. Yeah, you could go. Yeah, there's just
we
no
could
way.
Go 16 and
matter.
4. We're not
so
winning.
So I'm
the quarter.
Just saying for the quarter, and we could still win the next quarter for being good. I'm just saying if we go 0-5,
we
have a better chance to try to go 0-20 than we do trying to recover. Unless you think for the long haul we're going to be great, then we could still get to the top 100. We got to make a decision. I think the funniest thing is going to happen now, though.
I think we're
going to go 0-5 if the Bears don't hit tonight. Next week, we're going to say, all right, let's pick some games we're not confident in. Watch us go 4-1 or 5-0 next week, picking games we don't really like.
Choosing the opposite? Or should, like, because that's always the argument. If we went 0-5, Drew, should we then again just choose the picks we like and we are likely to go for 10?
No, because you're going to...
Because we're terrible
Because you're not that bad at it. So you're not going to go... If you're not going to know. I think you would have to pick some coin flip games. You know, so if there's any pick-ems on the slate this week, we purposely pick one or two and pick the side. Like, so I think it's stuff like that you would have to do.
Choose the side we don't
like. Or like, depending on your feeling, like Kansas City is a 1.5-point underdog right now.
Bad teams to cover.
I would pick, like, honestly, in that scenario, because everybody now is down on the Chiefs, I would actually want us for our pick to pick Philly, because I actually think the Chiefs will end up winning. Pick Philly, so either way, we either you have the pick right, or the Chiefs win.
You're
so
almost covering your bases, where as a fan, you're either really excited as a fan, and you lose,
I guess go Vikings
or you
tonight,
win
so.
The bet, but the team loses.
Like, so. I know people are crazy, but I'll tell you, like, on Friday, barring a huge injury shift, like I think the overreaction is wild, and I think... The Eagles didn't look great either. If the Chiefs end up as finishing at like 2 or 2.5-point underdogs or 1.5 right now, I will gladly take Kansas City. And the NFL is so freaking weird, man. Would it stun anybody? The Chiefs just go win on Sunday. No. Oh, they stink now. Oh, they stink and they're screwed. And they, oh my God. And they go and they beat the Eagles. Then what? Then where's everybody at?
Every year in the NFL, I have to watch the same two things happen. Someone finish 0-1 against a 1-0 team and then they beat them. And then the Saints won by
30 week one last year.
And then what will also happen is the same thing happens there is the thing that happens on the opposite side. And the Chargers lose to the Raiders or the Bills lose to the Jets or whoever the hell they got.
Right.
Like one of the teams that you were like, whoa, super impressed. They're losing this week. Like we all were over the moon at the way the Packers looked. And they'll like somehow lose next Sunday. And you're like, the hell, how?
It's the NFL.
I thought you were great. I thought you couldn't be beat. And like every year this happens.
The Ravens did it last year.
And not every team. Not every team this happens to. Plenty will just win. Now the Packers face the Commander, so they could definitely just lose. But
that's a good game.
That's a really good game. But so that's Thursday night football, too, of all things.
There you go.
But, like, you know, you get the point. Every year, someone who looks really good loses in week two. And somebody who looks really bad. Somehow Miami will win next week. Yeah. I'm not saying they should.
No, they're playing the Patriots. I also think that they're a sneaky team next week to win as well. It's just overreaction. The Dolphins looked like complete dog bleep.
They look like we're seeing the NFL.
But would it surprise you if they beat the Patriots?
Bad.
No, it shouldn't.
I think tomorrow we're going to have to talk some Tyreek Hill back in Kansas City.
We
I
are.
Didn't take it seriously.
We are. I saw a lot of it.
There were a lot of people
He's yelling on the sideline. They look like
he wants
terrible.
Can we not forget that last year he requested out? He said, I don't want to play on this football team. I know he backtracked that in the offseason.
The tricky thing
like
with Tyreek
does, but
the tricky thing with Tyreek, and you're right, we will talk tomorrow, is the financial element of as well. There's like a $50 million cap hit next year. So you'd have to
along with the Chris Jones cap hit that you're supposed to have with
so
the 42.
Like, I don't know how on earth you think they're going to pull that off, but
I don't think anyone in the organization signing off on that.
That's the other part. I don't know. How desperate are they? let's just see what the next couple of weeks look like.
Depends on what they look like against Eagles.
Do they think Worthy's available in 5 weeks? They know Rice is available in 6 weeks or seven. You know what I mean? Like,
are you surprised we have not seen an update on that yet?
The Chiefs have kept still, this
like
one
a timeline. No timeline on.
Based on Andy said he's going to rehab it. Andy said he's rehabbed.
Okay,
which
so
means
what's
no
the timeline?
It means
rehab.
No surgery.
That's what it sounds like.
My only concern is that he's out for 2.5 weeks from now, and then they say, "Well, the rehab's not going the way we thought," and now they need surgery, and then it's
for
sure
out for scenario for him. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, I'll tell you this much: they're going to have to keep drafting wide receivers. I don't, you know, there's absolutely no choice. Besides that, you better keep drafting him because you clearly don't have enough somehow.
You guys, I think he's coming back at some point this year.
I would be surprised if the dislocated shoulder required the
surgery. My guess right now is that, just based on the little we know.
Here's the thing, Drew. Typically, people rehab and come back and play. But it's like the Vinny Pasquantino thing. He rehabbed and came back and played. And this is it's baseball, not football. Typically, when it comes to injury like that, you get the surgery eventually anyway. Because it prevents it, it reduces significantly the likelihood of it happening again.
Yeah, that was
the shoulder will pop back out.
One of the things that, like, he'll wear a brace, but there's a relatively decent chance that he pops it back out again.
Totally. That's the risk that they have to evaluate. He has to accept as well. And
yeah, it'll end his season. We'll just be waiting with bated breath at any point when his season could end. Now, who's the most important player to stay healthy for the next 5 weeks?
Hollywood Brown. It's 100%
more than Travis. Like,
other than the obvious. Okay, like, no kidding.
No, I just meant
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, no kidding.
What offense is obviously
Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, nice game.
Probably him.
I mean, they obviously cannot afford to lose both their tackles, but yes, it's Hollywood Brown if we're being realistic about it.
I can't believe we ended up right back where we started.
That's where, the offense is the same.
Signed all these players, got everyone back. Now I wish he still had his appeal in 3 weeks if Rashee Rice. Now I wish he hadn't agreed.
Hindsight on that one for sure. But it's true.
Now I wish.
Just keep appealing and dragging it out as long as possible.
Yeah, now I wish he would have just fought it forever and gotten even bigger, more expensive lawyers. I don't know, you know.
So we'll see. Ian Rapoport again said they're looking at maybe wearing a brace that could get him back, but I don't know if that necessarily means he's coming back anytime soon or not. So we'll hopefully have an update tomorrow on the show.
Don't know.
We shall see. Tomorrow on the show, thinking of that, J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, is going to join us. Nate Taylor also will get into K-State some more. We didn't talk a ton about them. And one other takeaway from the Chiefs' loss against the Chargers. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Monday. The Drive with C-Dot up next.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.